A 60-mile-long, dangerous, swampy jungle path that migrants brave on their way to the United States has now become a factor in upcoming elections here and in Panama. Humanitarian groups say Panama is not doing enough to protect migrants in the Darien Gap amid a spike in violence and sexual assaults. The jungle sits between Panama and Colombia. The frontrunner in Panama's presidential election says he plans to close the Darien Gap, but José Raúl Molino gave no specific details on how he'd stop the flow of border crossings. New York Times Andes Bureau Chief Julie Turkowitz has been reporting in the region for the last few years. With her most recent trip in March, she joins us now. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And just a note, our conversation will include some disturbing descriptions of assault. So, Julie, you've been reporting in the Darien Gap for years. It's long been a really treacherous and violent place. Can you paint a picture for us about just how dangerous the conditions are now?
Yeah, so with my colleague, the photographer Federico Rios, we have been traveling to the Darien Gap since 2021, and we have sort of documented this whole narrative of this once very rarely traversed jungle becoming almost a highway for people seeking a path north and seeking refuge in the United States. We have always heard stories about robberies in the jungle. We've always heard stories about violent assaults, but we were really taken aback a couple of weeks ago when organizations working on the ground started to tell us about an enormous rise in the amount of violence, and particularly sexual violence, happening inside the jungle. And so in March, we went to Panama. We spent several days in migrant camps at the end of the jungle talking to people. And during that time, we spoke with dozens and dozens and dozens of people who were literally just finishing this route. And during that time, more than 70 of them told us that they had been the victims of violent assaults, really violent robberies, really holdups in the jungle, often groups of about a half dozen men with masks and very large guns stopping them and demanding that they hand over their money. And in several instances, the were cases of women who were forced to strip naked and then searched between their legs, and at times told us that they had experienced rape during these very traumatic robberies.
And lay out for us who they blame for this. Who is doing the robberies, the sexual assaults?
Well, it's really important to note that we don't know a lot about who the possible perpetrators are. What we were told by these 70 people was that the people who had stopped them in the jungle, some of them spoke Spanish with Colombian accents. These attacks are happening just over the border from Colombia in Panama. Some of them told us that the perpetrators spoke in indigenous languages. There are indigenous communities in the jungle that have been deeply affected by this migration surge. And we also spoke with leaders of indigenous communities who talked to us about their concerns that some of the perpetrators might come from their communities and really asked for more information and more investigation. And so it's really important to gather more information to be able to stop this.
And just how have some of the surrounding indigenous communities been impacted? Because we hear that many of the migrants who are on this trail, you know, are fleeing, whether it's really harsh economic collapse in their country or, as in the case of Haiti, you know, lawlessness and violence. How is that impacting the surrounding indigenous communities?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So inside the jungle, there are two indigenous groups that have lived for many generations. One is the Embera and the other is the Kuna. There are several individual communities within those different ethnicities. And these are agricultural communities, fishing communities that have really seen their lifestyles upended by this new wave of people. you know, we're talking about a million people passing through this once very isolated place just in the last 3 years. And many people who are migrating through, they leave behind trash, they leave behind diapers, they leave behind clothing they can no longer carry. You're talking also about deaths in the jungle. And so the water has been polluted, land has been polluted. Panamanian authorities have talked about literal tons of trash being left in the jungle. At the same time, many of these communities now have found ways to make money, providing housing, food, internet at the very end in this sort of liminal space between the jungle and then more built-up communities.
You know, I wonder, you're in touch with a lot of the watchdog groups and aid workers. Do they, because I know the Panamanian government, the current government has said, they said it to you, that they're just not aware that this is happening and that aid groups are wrong. What did you find?
You know, we went and we found these testimonies and we brought them to some Panamanian officials. The security minister in the region, or for the country, declined to speak to us. But when we look at public statements, you know, the director of migration in Panama has responded to reports from human rights groups, most prominently Human Rights Watch, by saying, hey, we haven't heard these stories. We're in the jungle and we haven't heard them. We don't believe that this is happening. We don't believe this is a problem. And in fact, the director of migration in Panama, Samira Gosain, has said about Human Rights Watch's sort of allegations and assessment that there's not enough care. This is an ideological report and assessment. So there's a real denial from some real key players in Panama that large-scale violence and large-scale sexual violence is a problem.
Okay. Now, that may all change, of course, with the Panamanian elections on May 5th and if a new government comes to power. But let's bring it here to the U.S., Julie. Immigration, obviously, is a huge issue here. You know, is the U.S. government working with Panama to do anything to stem the flow of immigrants, to provide, you know, any relief for what's happening there?
Right now, the United States has been sending a lot of aid toward Panama to help it deal with the migration crisis that has sort of arrived at its doorstep. When I asked the sort of second in charge at the U.S. Embassy in Panama if it was, you know, concerned about this violence, and in particular, if it was considering using some of this aid as leverage to ask the Panamanian government to do more to stop violence, as aid groups have asked, the second in command sort of deflected and said, you know, he understands there's a humanitarian problem in the jungle, but did not directly address the violence or this idea of sort of pushing the Panamanian government towards something else.
And just finally, Julie, are you in touch with any of the women that you spoke to, you know, a few weeks ago now? Do you know where they are? Have they made it beyond the Panamanian jungle?
Yes. The story focuses on a mother and her 8-year-old daughter who experienced this very traumatic robbery and, in one case, sexual assault. And they have made it to Mexico, where they have really... it has been even worse for them in Mexico than it was in the jungle. And they have been kidnapped by a criminal gang for several days, again stripped naked, and then eventually made it to Mexico City, where they tell me in their account is that migration authorities rounded them up and brought them all the way back to southern Mexico. And so the last time I talked to them was about 2 days ago, and they are trying to get back to Mexico City in northern Mexico to sign up with CBP1, this app that allows people to sort of turn themselves in and claim asylum.
It's so much. Julie Turkowitz of the New York Times. She's the Andes Bureau Chief. Julie, thank you so much. We look forward to continuing to follow your reporting.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.